On page 1230 in the Bibles in the pews. The third letter of John, beginning at verse 1. The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell me about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out receiving no help from the pagan. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men so that we may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him. And you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A moment's quiet before I pray. Heavenly Father, may the words which I speak reflect your truth, and as we study the scriptures now, may our hearts and minds be open to receive your message for us this evening, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Three people were often talking about what they could do if they had the chance to help some of their Jewish friends. They knew someone who'd found hiding places at the beginning of the occupation for those German Jews that had been living in the house. So this particular family built a secret room. Built-in bookshelves ran along the wall. They had the same rain-stained stains on them as the original wall did, and they were sagging and old. Down in the far left-hand corner, beneath the bottom shelf, a sliding panel, 2 feet high and 2 feet wide, opened into a secret room. And as the Nazi madness swept across Europe, this quiet watchmaker's family in Holland risked everything for the sake of others and for the love of Christ. Despite the danger and the threat of discovery, they offered shelter to persecuted Jews. Then a trap resulted in their arrest. But God's love continued to shine through them, even through the nightmare of a German concentration camp. You may recognize that as the story, in obviously just a few words, of Corrie ten Boom, who told that in such compelling detail in her book, The Hiding Place. It is, in every which way you look at it, a very special example of greeting and hospitality, which is our theme for this evening. But let's just briefly step back and just put our scripture reading into context. Page 1230 in the Church Bibles, if you want to keep an eye on the text. We looked last week at 2 John, which with this week's reading 3 John, they're the two shortest books in the New Testament. And as we've noted, John's three letters were written, like much of the New Testament, to deal with the problems and issues that were arising in the first century church, many of which are reflected in the 21st century church, let's face it. And the main problem, which is explained at length in 1 John, is of false teachers. The gospel message was carried around by evangelists and traveling teachers by foot. They had no other means of travel. And because of this practice, there were others that did it too. Obviously, the false teachers had to use the same method. And 2 John was written to encourage others' discernment in listening to the teachers and to listen to the good ones and not the false ones. But it would appear that the good gospel teachers were being rejected by one local leader, Diotrephes, who had grown rather too big for his boots. John was writing to Gaius to commend him and encourage him in supporting those teachers, and probably indirectly to warn Diotrephes. We don't know about this chap, Gaius, to whom John is writing. Gaius was a common name, but clearly John thought a lot of him. He refers to him as dear friend 4 times in this passage, and some translations, I believe, use the word beloved. Gaius would also appear to hold some position of authority in the church. Both 2 John and 3 John show how important Christian greeting and hospitality were in the early church. And we are going to see how important they are for us too, and how significant a part they are of what we were looking at last week when we looked at walking in the truth. And truth continues to feature in this letter too. So let's look more closely at 3 John from 3 perspectives: what, how, and why. Firstly, what is greeting and hospitality? John opens this letter with a warm and affectionate greeting. He's clearly writing in love and is concerned for his friend's physical as well as his spiritual well-being. A greeting can, of course, take various forms, but it generally takes the form of a welcoming greeting of some sort. Hospitality is, in a sense, a step further and involves receiving strangers and treating them with love and care. And Gaius received many who were travelling to different places to spread the gospel, and John commends him for this. And in the ancient world, hospitality would have been a sacred duty. Christian travellers would have sought hospitality from local Christians. They were unlikely to be able to afford to stay at inns, which had a rubbish reputation anyway. In the early church, the Christian house, the Christian home, was a place with an open door and loving welcome. And that should be true for us today as well. I suppose, being brought up in southern England, I was always told those from the north of England were much friendlier. But I don't know whether that's true or not. I know we've got a mixture in this congregation. But no, perhaps these days not anyone leaves their door open for too long. But we certainly did in our village, and that was down south. But there are plenty of examples of hospitality in the Bible, and not least the stories of Jesus' healing. We only looked the other week in the morning series at Martha and Mary. Mind you, there were a number of lessons there about being rather unnecessarily caught up in the hustle and bustle of delivering hospitality. So secondly, then, how should we do greeting and hospitality? We've noted that John greets his friend, but he's also praying for him. I pray that you may enjoy good health. Physical and spiritual well-being going together. But a greeting may be simply giving someone in the street a smile, whether you know them or not. And that friendly greeting may, for all you know, be the only one that person receives that day. And just think how much that will mean to them. And we perhaps often wonder what sort of reception we're going to get when we're up there, so to speak. As one slightly facetious comment goes, at the gates of heaven, St. Peter looked at a new arrival. Somewhat puzzled, he said, "How did you get here?" he asked. "FLU, flu," came the immediate reply, which I think at this time of year is probably quite relevant, but we hope we're not going to go there through flu. But the issue of hospitality was John's main reason for writing this letter. He urges the church to receive those travelling missionaries and send them on their way with provision for their onward journey, and to do that in a truly Christian manner. In some ways, I equate a friend I've got in Oxfordshire with Gaius. When I go up there to preach once a year, not only does she and her husband welcome me into their home overnight, but when I go home, she sends me off with a stack of homemade sandwiches for the journey home, just in case that train doesn't make it in the proper time. That doesn't make me a travelling preacher, but it does make her a lovely Christian. John uses two examples to show how to exercise hospitality and how not to do it. Diotrephes was an example not to imitate. He was clearly abusing his position of authority. Where was that servant-like attitude that Jesus displayed in leadership? He not only refused to accept his Christian brothers, but he stopped others from welcoming them too. Satan's sin was exemplified here. He was putting himself before God and before others. And too often, people like that prosper because others just don't feel they can stand up to them and oppose them. In contrast, Demetrius was clearly highly respected and well thought of. He was, verse 12, well spoken of by everyone. He's not really introduced, which does seem to indicate that he was well known. He might have been one of those travelling missionaries, or perhaps even their leader. But whatever, he was a good role model. The Bible is full of advice about how Christians should exercise hospitality. We can read in 1 Peter, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And in the letter to the Hebrews, that famous quote, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. I suppose you could argue you could entertain anybody without knowing it, but just think who you might be welcoming in. And as one commentator puts it, the Christian family circle should always be wide enough to have a place for strangers wherever they're from. That means our churches, our homes, and quite frankly, anywhere we happen to be. So thirdly, why do greeting and hospitality? We've probably answered some of that in our hearts already. Welcomers are just so important in our churches because they are the first point of contact. And we all know how important first impressions are. We should find out if somebody is new. Are they visiting? Have they just moved into the area? What are their names, etc.? The sort of questions we might ask if they came to our front door at home. John knows the importance of a personal greeting. He ends his letter, "Greet the friends there by name." I think there's a hard lesson there sometimes for leaders who might meet somebody once and then desperately want to try and remember their name the next time they come. But it really does create a good impression if you can do that. The wandering missionaries had given up their homes, their comfort, whatever, their families, to spread that gospel message. So John is saying it's everyone else's responsibility as Christians to welcome them. And by giving them that hospitality, those Christians at home are helping to spread the gospel too. Not everyone can become missionaries or preachers. Their witness might be on a different front line. But we can all offer support in practical ways, in prayer, in finance. And the church needs workers at home as well. The work of the gospel needs all God's people, and it needs it urgently. And as we know, giving hospitality can be a blessing to the giver as well as the receiver. My landlady in Cambridge, she was a Christian, was really good at hospitality. She was quite tight on other things, but she was really good at hospitality. And her Sunday lunches were like really quite famous. But she was also good at having people to stay. And I remember I got quite excited because she used to have international hockey players to stay. And when you've got the England captain staying in the house, I used to think that was great. The only problem was their hockey talent didn't rub off on me. County level was my limit and not very good at that. But so often with situations in the Bible, with this letter, we don't know the outcome of all this really, do we? But we hope it is as John ends. Peace to you, the friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name, verse 14. So as we conclude this rather mad gallop through 3 John, how about thinking a bit more about being a bit more aware of the world around us and not missing that opportunity tomorrow to give somebody that friendly greeting. And hello, whether we know them or not, we may get a strange look back, but who knows where that has really hit home. And exercising hospitality doesn't just mean inviting friends for dinner. It's much more than that. It extends to supporting God's mission in many ways. We should use the resources and talents we have got and not go on a guilt trip about those we don't have, because we all have different talents. We're not all called to leave home. We're not all called to host dinners. We're not all called to give up our spare room if we've got one. But we are all called to give ourselves and our God-given resources to Christ. That may be at some cost to us, but when you measure that against the price that Jesus paid for us and what Corrie ten Boom's family endured doing God's work, need one say any more? But we do need to pray for wisdom and discernment. So let's end by reflecting on John's words in the context of greeting, welcome, and hospitality. Do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Moments quiet before I close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as like Jesus, we are called to love and to service. May we follow his example and that of Gaius and offer love, greetings, and hospitality to others. Give us the wisdom and discernment to use our resources wisely, that we may help spread the gospel wherever we are and wherever we go. This we ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.